and you will know why immediately. And today's study is on the book of Daniel. And Daniel, you can find Jesus in many forms, but for me today, I will try to explain the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. And we're going to see it in a marvelous way. Now, as a way of introduction, we're going to see the serious progression that we have in the scripture. And let's see if you remember what we have done. We have the book of Genesis, and in Genesis, Christ is the seed of the woman. In the book of Exodus, Christ is the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, Christ could be the high priest, or it could be the sacrifice. In the book of Numbers, the brazen serpent, remember, they was lifted up. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 15, it's clear, the prophet of Israel. In Joshua, the savior of our soul. In the book of Judges, remember, the judge and lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, is the kinsman redeemer. And the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel, as we went through these books, we saw Samuel, a man of prayer. And so Jesus is the intercessor. And 1st Kings, 2nd King, 1st Chronicle, 2nd Chronicle, one package, the reigning king and nothing less. In Ezra, we saw the Jesus is the faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, he is the builder of the world. And then in the book of Esther, he's greater than her uncle, greater than Mordecai. And then, by the way, if you have no copy of this, we have entire commentary and everything. You can have a copy free of charge. In the book of Job, he is the healer of our soul. And then in the book of Psalm, we choose one psalm, the shepherd of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, we thought that he was the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Christ, the fear of God. And the son of Solomon, Christ, the bridegroom. And the book of Isaiah, Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, we thought that he was the weeping prophet. And then we look into Ezekiel, who was the Messiah or the shepherd of Israel, or Jehovah of Israel. Now we have come today to the discussion for this evening, and it's only this, the book of Daniel and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do, how the book of Daniel relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. And always we have a general information. They always I go over with you because I know you know it, but it's good to refresh ourselves. Let's turn the Bible to Luke chapter 24 in verse 27. In the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24 and in verse 27. And then you're going to find out there that Jesus is talking to two disciples. And these two disciples were discouraged because Jesus has been crucified. And the Bible said that in order for Jesus to identify with them, the Bible reads in verse 27 and Luke 24, and beginning at Moses, and in all the prophet, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now notice that he expounded unto them, said verse 27, all the scripture that concerned himself. Now later on, the same day, he met the 11 disciples. And in verse 44, they were shocked that Jesus had resurrected. And in order to identify himself with them, the Bible says, in verse 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, there's the first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, Jesus is saying the entire Old Testament, the entire Old Testament is related to me, is about me. All right? We move now to the Gospel of John in chapter 5 and in verse 39. So I encourage you to move your Bible to John 5 and verse 39. Here in verse 39, he's talking to a different kind of people. He's talking to people who are educated, who are doctors of the law. And look at what Jesus says. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they means the scripture, which testify of me. So to two disciples, Jesus said, you find me in the Bible. To the 11 disciples, he said, you find me in the entire Old Testament. And to the doctors of the law, he says, search the scripture, and obviously was the entire Old Testament, search the scripture because you will find about me. But the prime scripture, the key scripture, they about 20 years ago brought my attention, and I started a series, Christ's Key to the Scripture, is this one, Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 7. And let's look on it. This is the scripture that gave me the start to look for Jesus in the Bible. Hebrews 10 and verse 7 is a quotation of a psalm. And the author of the book of Hebrews said, then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Hebrews 10:7 said that in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And so we have a Bible who has 39 volumes in the Old Testament and 27 in the new one. If we're talking about the Old Testament and the 39 volumes of the Old Testament, you will find me and there is no way. So let me, before we go to the specific information, let me remark again. The general information is the kind of information that triggered my mind to look for Jesus in the pages of the Old Testament. You heard, and I heard over and over to say, oh, that was in the Old Testament, is not applicable today. What a mistake to divide the Bible in two. It's only one Bible. And the New Testament explained the Old Testament anyway. And so Jesus used the Old Testament to two people and 11 people. Jesus used the Old Testament to show himself to doctors of the law. And then finally, when the diaspora, that's the Greek name for those who were in Europe and they were Jewish, then the writer of the book of Hebrews said, you will find Christ Jesus right there in the entire volume of the Old Testament. Now, we are concerning about Daniel, and so we're going to have the specific information now. And the first point I want to have, if you turn your Bible to the book of Daniel, is in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, a kingdom is anticipated. Daniel, as you know, was a very young fellow. He was brought from Israel into what today would be Iraq. And there he was able to be on the elites of the court. And when the king was in real trouble because of a dream, he was used of God to reveal the dream. And then the Bible said that, therefore Daniel, verse 24, went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, because remember, the king has a dream, and he has people of great study with him, and nobody was able to reveal the dream, so the king Nebuchadnezzar ordered the destruction of all these psychologists. And then the Bible said that Daniel went in into Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. And so a kingdom is in anticipation. A kingdom is is brought into, excuse me, Daniel was brought into, in verse 24, I'm reading verse 24, by the way, Daniel is brought into the pressure of the king, and in verse 44, after he revealed the king, now that's the verse here, in verse 44, the Bible said, and in the days of these kings, as he revealed the dream, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to an other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And so he is saying to the king, you see this stature, this big stature that you see, that's the power of man, but will be a kingdom that will infiltrate into the power of man and will establish a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And so a kingdom is really anticipated. He tells King Nebuchadnezzar, your dream is a true dream. Mankind will raise to great power, but God will enter into that power and will anticipate it and will bring a kingdom that will never be absolutely destroyed. So how do I know that? If you look in verse 44 again, the Bible said, and a kingdom shall be not left to other people, and it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and shall stand forever. So it will be everlasting, it will be permanent. And no kingdom of man is everlasting or permanent, because man life, the span of mankind is 70, 80, 90 years old, 100 years old. I saw in the paper somebody 110 years old and man died. So their kingdom cannot be established. But when God establishes a kingdom, will be everlasting and will be permanent. Now, secondly, I want you to look in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. And here Daniel explained that a kingdom is being developed. A kingdom is developed. Look at, you will see that the king is also mentioned here, and the scope of the kingdom is mentioned. I read for you Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Who is that? Like the Son of Man. The New Testament used the expression the Son of Man for Jesus. The book of Mark is the book of the Son of Man. Came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given, verse 14, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. You know these two things right here in the kingdom is developed. The first is in verse 13. The king is mentioned, the Son of Man. And in verse 14, the scope is mentioned. They said, given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations. Now that's completely foreign to Israel. Israel think that they are the kingdom and they are the only one that belong to the kingdom. And here the Bible, Daniel prophesied that the kingdom of God will be from all kinds of people, all kinds of nations and languages, and people will serve him, and his dominion shall be everlasting. In other words, it's not a temporary dominion, it's not a takeover and fail, but it's a complete and absolute, absolute power. So here in these two scriptures, and I'm going to go to the New Testament now to bring Christ into this, you see that a kingdom is anticipated, and then a kingdom is developed and explained with the name of the king and also the scope. Now, you go to the New Testament, then you can identify the king. If you go to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, and you go to verse 31 and 32, the king is identified, and it's very, 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 very important to look into this. The Bible says, and remember in the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1 and in verse 31, And behold, thou shalt conceive, this is the angel talking to Mary, in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And so therefore, the king mentioned right here in the kingdom that Daniel dreamed is identified. His name shall be called Jesus. Excuse me. And shall be of the house of Jacob. So that means the lineage of Israel. And then, the lineage of Judah. And then he shall be established and be in the kingdom. I want to compare in Daniel's, keep your hand and look. And if we go back to Daniel chapter 2, I want to look into verse 47 for you. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 47, because there is a title. In Daniel 2:47, we find the title. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of the truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and Lord of kings, and a revealer of secret, seeing thou couldst reveal the secret." Now here's the title that I want you to look on it, because we're going to follow that in Revelation. King Nebuchadnezzar, without knowing, is use of God to expel the title of the king. And you see it in verse 47, where he said, God is a God of gods and Lord of kings. If you go with me to Revelation, last book of the Bible, in chapter 19, and in verse 16, you will find there what the scripture said about the Lord Jesus, and that is the title that is mentioned in the book of Daniel. In Revelation 19, verse 16, we read, "And he had on his vesture and on his tide a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And so the king is identified. The king mentioned there is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to verify if this is really the king, is this what the Bible talks about king, then we should look in the Bible, what is it about kings? What is the characteristics that describe an individual as a king? It's revealed in the book of Proverbs, a book that spell great things for us. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 25, in verse 2, reveals the characteristics of kings. Here is how a king is made of. In book of Proverbs, chapter 25, in verse 2, we read, "It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." In other words, a king, the kingship of a king is that he search out and finds truth. He finds truth. He search out and find truth. That is a sign of the kingship. And that is seen in Jesus. Let's look in the Gospel of John in chapter 2. And the very last verse of chapter 2, verse 25, you will see the confirmation that Jesus fulfilled that characteristics of the requirement of the king. Let me read from verse 23. "Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believe in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and need not that any shall testify of man." For what? "For he knew what was in man." That's the characteristic of a king. He knew the things. Of course, Jesus being God, as we studied this morning, he did not need to search out the matter to see if it's true or no. He knew the heart of man just as it is. And therefore, Jesus confirmed in a remarkable way, he confirmed that in his lifestyle, he has demonstrated evidence that he indeed is a king from God. So when you look in the book of Daniel, at least to me, pleases to see that the Lord Jesus is that king that Daniel is talking to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is so concerned about his kingdom. He takes over Jerusalem. He was used of God to judge Israel. And then Daniel, in a remarkable way, is telling Nebuchadnezzar that indeed he was used of God, but the real king is somebody else who will be portrayed into the picture. So if I had to compress the whole study for the message, I had two scriptures, Daniel 6:26 and Hebrews 12, and the scripture will be here for you so that we can read it together. Daniel 6:26 and Hebrews 12 and 22 and 21 to 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and this is Hebrews, of course, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of the sprinkle that they speak it better than that of Abel. So we are come to the Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. And so when we talk about kingship, we're not talking about a temporary earthly kingdom. We're talking about a kingdom, as we saw this morning in John 18, a kingdom that is everlasting, a kingdom that is of God. This morning we read Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king?" And he said, "You rightly saw, you say it." And so when you look into the book of Daniel, I want you to see at least one thing about Jesus. That in the book of Daniel, there is a king between the letters. Between the lines, there is a literal line, there is a king. And that king, you will know, is Jesus, because the word everlasting, a kingdom forever, is attached. And Daniel is sharing that with Nebuchadnezzar. And what surprised me is this, that Nebuchadnezzar did not pick up the idea. He's so in love with Daniel. He's so amazing about Daniel that he escaped from his mind that Daniel is not talking about him. He's talking about Jesus. But he saw that Daniel knew the stuff, but he misunderstood of whom he was talking about. And we will never misunderstand that when we talk about kingdom, we don't talk about this earthly kingdom. We talk about an everlasting kingdom that waits for us in the heavenly city. And so Daniel really gave us the heavenly Jerusalem view as a kingdom. And by the way, the word heavenly Jerusalem is the word used for the church in heaven. For the church in heaven. Heavenly Jerusalem, used about three times in the Bible in reference to the church in heaven. And it's used the other two times in the book of Revelation. And so when you read the book, the word Jerusalem, not necessarily it means the church. Only when it's attached to that qualification, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that will eliminate a lot of confusion sometimes in the reading. May God bless us that we look forward to a kingdom. See, a lot of theology teaches that a kingdom will be established on this earth. But Daniel teaches that a kingdom already is established and is everlasting. And if you are a child of God, the kingdom is in your heart already. And one day you and I will enjoy the presence of the living God. May God bless us. And we step into the book of Hosea. The eternal husband, to me, is Jesus in the book of Hosea, and we're going to see it on the coming Sunday. As I said at the beginning, we're going to cancel the evening service for three Sundays, actually two Sundays. The last Sunday, always, we have a fellowship dinner right after the morning service, and the 2:30 service, the last. But for the next two services, we will cancel the evening activities after 2:30. And so the first Sunday on September, we will have a study on the book of Hosea, Christ the Eternal Husband. As you know, Hosea was ordered to marry a woman who was a prostitute. And for what reason? To give us a great picture of Christ and his church, and we will see it. I love to see Christ in the scripture, and we love to preach Christ in this church because he is the only Savior. Thank you, Father, that we belong to an everlasting kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that this kingdom was promised, was foreseen in the prophets. And some of them wrote, not knowing what they were writing. But in the case of Daniel, he was a man that you gave him wisdom. And he was pleased to present to King Nebuchadnezzar the true story of a great kingdom which is eternal. Nebuchadnezzar misunderstood him, and you cast him away because of that. But Father, how precious it is that we know, we children of God know, that we belong to an eternal kingdom. We know that our destiny is not this world, it's the world to come, where the King of Kings is there and Lord of Lords. To him then be glory for today and forevermore. Amen.